come again to this last chapter in the book of Revelation and verse 16, Revelation 22, verse 16. And these two verses are the free offer of the gospel. It is the warm and full invitation to sinners to come to Jesus, to find rest from the guilt of their sins and refreshment in Jesus. So let's read these two verses together. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words, this free offer of the gospel, this warm invitation from Jesus, from the church, from the Spirit himself, to come to Jesus to live. Help us to hear and obey the call. Amen. Well, look at verse 16 where it says, he testifies these things to the churches. Isn't that interesting? He's telling you, the church, to come to Jesus. What is that? Why? I thought churches were believers. Well, they're supposed to be. But maybe you aren't sure you belong to Jesus yet. There are people in the church who aren't sure. You can feel their sins. You know your sinful thoughts that run through your mind. And you think sometimes, how could I ever be a Christian if I think thoughts like that? Or maybe you can't stop thinking about past sins. And you wonder, how could God love someone like me? Or maybe I'm not a real Christian. Have you ever felt that way? Many people feel that way. But I think Jesus is thinking about that kind of person. But it also has to be that he's thinking about children. Who gathers when the church gathers? Believers? And they bring their kids to church? What group of people might not be sure if they belong to Jesus? Well, I think it has to include children. And so if you're a child this morning, and you don't know if you belong to Jesus, I'm preaching this whole sermon to you. This is for you. I'm going to preach to the children today. Children and young people, I'm talking directly to you, and everyone else can listen. But there are three things that Jesus says here. First, there's something you have to know about him, okay? Actually, there's two things Jesus says you need to know about Jesus. And you see the first one in verse 16. He says, I am the root and the descendant of David. He's telling us who he is. What he means is that the Bible promised that David's children's 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 children would be a king. A king. And this king would somehow also be God. That's the first thing that we see about Jesus and who he is. Second, Jesus says he's a bright and morning star. Well, that came from the prophet Balaam in the Old Testament. And Balaam prophesied about what Jesus does. So the bright and morning star in the Old Testament, if you read it, is about how Jesus saves his people from their sins. So who is Jesus? Well, he's God and he's man. Children, do you understand that you have to know who Jesus is before you can trust him? Think about that. Would you trust a stranger? If I said, hey, you should trust Sebastian, you say, who's Sebastian? I say, well, he's a good guy. Trust him. He's like, I don't even know who he is, you know? You have to know who he is before you can trust him. And so before I can tell you how to trust in Jesus, I have to tell you who he is according to the Bible. And there's two very important things to know about him. One, he's God and man, like we said. And two, he's the Savior of sinners. So think about how he's God and man. Well, as God, who is he? He created everything you can see. He created the world around you. He created the stars. He created the clouds and the trees. He created you. And he made you in his own image. And as God, did you know Jesus is in charge of everything in the world? He is in charge. And he has all power. And he's love. And so, he's not someone who's mean who's in charge. He's love. He never yells at you. He's full of grace and truth. He's God and he's good. But he's also man, Jesus. He's man. That means Jesus knows what it's like to be a human being. Did you know Jesus was a child once, just like you? He was a child like you. And he remembers when he was a child. Jesus had to learn how to honor his father and his mother. Did you know that? The Bible says it. He had to learn obedience through what he suffered. It says that. And it says he grew in wisdom and favor with God and with men. And so do you know one reason you can trust Jesus? It's because he's not scary. In fact, the Bible says that sometimes Jesus would talk to big groups of people and there would be children there and the children would come to him. And the disciples said, no, don't come to Jesus, he's busy. And Jesus said, no, let the children come to me and don't forbid them. And Jesus took the children in his arms and he loves the children. And so who is Jesus? He's true God and he's true man, but you also need to understand that he has some very good laws that you have to obey for your good. Jesus is very wise. That means he knows the best way for you to live. And these laws tell you exactly what Jesus is like. He obeyed them himself. He tells you to love and obey God above all things. The first commandment, Jesus says, is you shall have no other gods before me. So children, you should love and worship God and come to worship him on Sunday willingly, every Lord's Day. And Jesus says, honor your father and your mother. You should obey your parents in the Lord. You know Jesus did that? He had to obey his parents in the Lord. Jesus says, do not murder. When he tells you not to murder, do you know what he means? He means don't hit your brothers or sisters. Don't be mean to them with your words. You know, murder is that feeling in our hearts when we don't get our way and we're mad about it. But instead of murdering, we're supposed to love people and protect them. Do you know that's what Jesus did? His whole life, he never murdered anyone. He only loved. And Jesus gives you another commandment. He says, do not steal. That means don't take things away from people. Maybe one of your brothers or sisters was playing with something and you wanted it so bad, you remember? And you were like, I'm going to take that. And you took it away from them and then everybody's unhappy and it's a big mess. But Jesus says, you know, you'll be happier if you love other people instead of stealing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, Jesus never stole anything from anyone. He only gave. Jesus also says, do not lie. You know, sometimes when children do something wrong, they lie so no one will find out. Maybe you've done that before. I've done that before. But Jesus says, telling the truth is better than lying. He never lied. He always told the truth. And so Jesus, children, the reason I'm telling you this is you have to know who Jesus is before you can trust him. And what we've learned is that he's God, he made you, and if he made you, he can tell you what to do, can't he? And Jesus is in charge, but not only that, he's good. And so you can trust him. And he's a man. He knows what it's like to be a human being like you. But he never sinned. And so now I have to ask you a question. When I tell you about God's law and all the things you have to do, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel like you cannot do all those things? Maybe you're thinking, I don't obey those commands. Sometimes I try, but I keep sinning. I don't share like I should. I steal. Sometimes I lie. Do you know I feel that way too? That's how I feel. Did you know Brother Tom still sins? I still have sins in my heart and in my life. I need Jesus. I know how you feel. But here's what you need to understand. This is really important, children. Sometimes a child might think they can't be a Christian because they still have sins. Or maybe a child thinks they can't be saved because they don't love Jesus like they should. So that brings me to the second thing you need to know about Jesus so you can trust him. The first thing is you need to know who Jesus is. The second thing is you need to know what Jesus does. And what does he do? He saves sinners. The Bible says the soul who sins will die. Have you ever sinned? Sinning is disobeying God's law, which we just read. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if you sinned, what do you deserve? To die forever in hell. Hell is a terrible place of darkness and fire and suffering. And it's the worst of all in hell is there's no love in hell. But here's the very good news that Jesus teaches us. Jesus loves sinners. He wants to save sinners. He took the punishment of death for sinful people. Then he rose from the dead 3 days later. He beat death. So let me see if I can help you understand this about what Jesus did, okay? Let's pretend you did something you shouldn't do. Let's say there's a very busy road outside your house. Some of you that you don't have to pretend, you know. There's a busy road outside your house and you're playing with the ball and your dad and mom told you don't go near that road, but you decided you're going to go near the road anyway. So you're playing with the ball, you're close to the road and the ball bounces into the road. And you're really worried that a car is going to hit your ball and you'll lose your ball and then you won't have it to play with anymore. And so you look both ways to see if any car is coming. And you go out and you get your ball, and it was very dangerous. But what you did not see is there was a policeman there. And he saw you run into the road. And so let's pretend it's against the law for you to run into a busy road. So the policeman turns on his blue lights and he pulls his police car right over next to you and you're feeling very scared because a policeman is going to, he's caught you doing this thing you're not supposed to do and your heart is pumping hard and you don't know what's going to happen. And the policeman looks at you and he says, did you know you just broke the law? You went into the busy road and you're going to have to go to jail. Your eyes get big and you're very afraid and so you say, I'm so sorry, officer. My parents told me not to play by this road, but I thought it would be fun. I know it was wrong, and I shouldn't do that, but will you please forgive me? And the policeman says, the law says you deserve to go to jail, and you broke the law. but I'm going to put myself in jail instead of you. And you say, why do you have to put yourself in jail? And he says, well, you broke the law. Someone has to go to jail. Either you can go to jail or I can go to jail. But it wouldn't be fair if no one goes to jail. So because I want to show you mercy and kindness, I'm going to put myself in jail and not you. Now that's just a pretend story. And it would never happen like that. But that is what Jesus did on the cross. Children, you deserve to die on the cross yourself. But Jesus died on the cross for you, instead of you, in your place. And then he rose from the dead, and now you do not have to die if you trust in him. You don't have to die in hell forever if you belong to Jesus. You can live with Jesus forever in heaven. And that's what Jesus is like. Remember how I said you have to know someone before you can trust them? Well, this is what Jesus is like. It's who he is. He's strong, so he can save you. And he's good, so you can trust him. But there's a second thing we learned from the Bible this morning. You can see it in verse 17. It's a call to trust. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That means the church by the Spirit is calling you to come. Let the one who hears say, come. Everyone who comes should also say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take of the water of life without price. Now here's what you need to know. You have to come to Jesus before you can be a Christian. A lot of children don't understand that. You have to come before you can be a Christian. Sometimes people hear sermons about how Christians should live and they think, well, I must not be a Christian because I can't do that. I don't do that. Don't live like I should. I don't think like I should. But children, you cannot be a Christian before you become a Christian. Do you understand? You have to become a Christian first, and then you can be one. Listen to what Jesus says. Let the one who is thirsty come. You say, what does that mean? How do I know if I'm thirsty? What do you think it means that you're thirsty? Well, let me ask you this. Do you know you're a sinner and it's bad? And do you know you need help? That's thirst. If you know you're a sinner against God and it's wrong and you know you need help, then you're thirsty. And Jesus says to you, come. He's freely offering himself to you. He says, you can have me if you want me. That's what he's saying. Do you want me? You can have me. Just come. And if you come, it's actually because he brought you. But he says, come. John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's a free offer. And Jesus says, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Matthew 19:14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, how do you come to Jesus? Well, you trust him. You say, well, how do you trust him? Well, you have to trust that he can forgive your sins and that he's wise enough to teach you how to live. That's it. That he's God, that he's man, and that he can forgive you. That's how you become a Christian. So let me give you an example. Children, I want you to imagine with me, is there someone you trust who's strong, but you trust them? Think of somebody. Maybe it's your dad or your mom or grandparent or a brother or sister or somebody who's strong and trustworthy. And this person says, now cross your arms in front of you. I'm going to stand behind you, and I want you just to fall back, and I'm going to catch you. Would you do it? Someone who's trustworthy and who's strong, they're never going to hurt you. They say, I will never let you fall to the ground. They say, I will never, ever hurt you or drop you. All you have to do is fall back. That's how you trust in Jesus when you come to him. You just fall back. You lean on him. You trust him to save you, and you trust him that he's going to teach you and tell you how to live. That's how you become a Christian. Now, this is really important. There is nothing else to do to become a Christian. That's very important to understand. But the Bible commands you. Jesus says you have to do it. This isn't a choice. People say, well, it's your choice. No, it's not. It's not your choice. Jesus says, come. You have to come to him. And so will you trust in him? You're not allowed to disobey Jesus. You're not allowed to say, I'm not coming. You're not. Jesus tells you he's God. He says you have to. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're inside a building that's on fire, and you're at the window, looking out the window of a building that's burning and it's on fire behind you, and you're looking down, and that person who you trust is there one floor beneath the window. And that person looks up at you and he cries out, jump! You have to jump to me. If you don't jump, you're going to die. You have to obey. He's telling you what you have to do. That's what Jesus is saying. You have to trust in him. He commands you to do it. And that's how you become a Christian. Now here's the thing though, children. Sometimes children think they need to change themselves before they trust in Jesus. They think they need to feel something special in their hearts before they trust in him. Or they think they have to really, really love Jesus before they trust in him. But that's wrong, and let me show you why. Imagine you're in that burning building again, and you're looking out the window, and the building is burning, and you hear the trusted person on the ground telling you to jump, but you say, nope, nope, I'm going to try to do it something myself first. I need to fix something. I need to try it on my own first. That's very bad. You cannot save yourself. Even if you try, you're not going to figure it out. The only way to be saved from the burning building is to jump to that trusted person who's going to catch you. Don't fix yourself. Don't try to feel something. Don't do something. Just trust him. And this is why Jesus says what he does in Revelation 22:17. He says, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You see those words, without price? You cannot do anything to get Jesus to save you. You can't trust Jesus enough to be saved. You can't feel strong enough to be saved. You have to trust Jesus without price, which means you just fall into his arms. You trust him. Don't try to buy your salvation or be strong enough or change enough or be good enough. Let me give you an example that comes from a preacher named D.A. Carson. Do you remember the story of the Passover in the Old Testament? Well, in the Passover, God said that he was going to kill all the firstborns of Egypt, except for Israelite children, if their fathers put blood, lamb's blood, on the doorposts and on the lintels of their houses. And so let's imagine there's two Israelite dads talking to each other on the night of the Passover. They're having a conversation. They both put the blood up already, and they're talking, and it's getting late at night. And the first dad says, "I am so scared. I have a firstborn son, and I really don't want him to die. I don't know how this night is going to turn out. I'm not as faithful as I should be. I struggle with a lot of sins." And the second dad looks at him and says, "Well, did you put the blood on the doorposts?" And the first dad says, "Yeah." And the second dad says, he says, "Aren't you worried?" "No, I'm not. I trust the word of God. I'm not worried." And so that night, they both go to bed. One is real confident that the Lord is going to pass over his house and not kill his son. The other one's still worried. Now, here's the question. Which one of these dads lost his son that night? Do you know? Neither. Why? Because your salvation doesn't depend on how much you trust the Lord. It depends on the strength of Jesus and the power of the blood. Period. Maybe you're a person who's very afraid to fall back into any person's arms. Or maybe you would be willing to fall back into almost anybody's arms. It doesn't matter. The point is, how strong are the arms you're going to fall back into, and how trustworthy is that person to catch you? Even the weakest, most fearful faith saves because Jesus is good and powerful and trustworthy. So here's what I want to ask you. Will you trust in Jesus to forgive your sins? Today, will you trust him to teach you how to live your life? You have to do it. He commands you to do it. But if you do, if you trust Jesus, you know what the Bible says? You're saved right now. Already. At this very moment in your seat, God has saved you. And you know what else? You have to believe you're saved. You know why? Because God promises that you are. It's a promise. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a promise from God. You have to believe. It's God's authority. If you trust him, you have to believe he saved you, that you have everlasting life. And if you trust in Jesus, then you are a Christian. And you need to talk to your parents and your pastors about being baptized so you can join the church, which will be a blessing to you too. So that's the second thing we've learned. You have to come to Jesus before you can be a Christian. But there's a third thing you have to understand. That is, a Christian is someone who's learning how to live the Christian life. They're listening and they're learning from Jesus. So, did you know the Bible calls Christians disciples? You heard that word? Do you know what a disciple is? A learner. Simple. A disciple is a student, a trainee. But let me ask you this. Do you think you have to learn math before you go to math class? You first have to prove to the teacher you know how to do math, and then they'll let you come into the class? No. First you come into the class, then you learn math. It's the same way with becoming and being a Christian. Same way with following Jesus. First you have to trust Jesus to save you and teach you. Then you spend the rest of your life learning how to be a Christian. That's repentance. That's what that is. You're learning who Jesus is, what your sin is like, how to repent, and to trust him and keep his commandments. When you're a Christian, you're spending the rest of your life making mistakes. Just ask any Christian if they're honest. The rest of your life as a Christian, you're learning from your mistakes and you're learning who Jesus is from then on. That's what being a Christian is. How do you learn math in school? You go to school, you listen to your teacher, you study, then you try to do the math problems on your own, and you know what? You mess up sometimes. And you get corrected and you have to learn how to do it better. That's exactly what it's like being a Christian. You're learning Jesus. And you're learning how to live in Jesus. Only it's all of life. And Jesus is our good teacher. Remember who he is. He's not a harsh disciplinarian. He's a gentle. The Bible says he's gentle and humble and patient. Now, his rules are actually pretty strict, but they're for your good. And you have to learn them. And you really have to learn them. But he's patient while you learn. And he teaches you over a lifetime. When we're Christians and when we sin, it's an opportunity to repent. It doesn't mean we're not a Christian. It means it's an opportunity to repent and to learn how to repent. To learn how to go to Jesus again. To learn to remember how much Jesus loves us. And all that he's done for us to forgive us. And we learn to hate our sins. You know, when you first trust Jesus, you don't hate sins as much as you should. You're learning the ugliness of sin the rest of your life. And then you're learning more of the goodness of Jesus the rest of your life. And you're learning how to be a Christian the rest of your life. But I do need to warn you of something. So children, listen to this. There is a warning here. A person is not a Christian if they don't want to learn from Jesus. That's really the key. If they don't care about learning from Jesus, they're not a Christian. They don't trust him, or if they think they know better than Jesus. Now, all Christians sometimes think they know better than Jesus, but if you're like, I'm not going to trust him, not going to learn from him, that's not a Christian. Someone who says, I trust in Jesus, but they don't even try to learn from Jesus about how to live all of life, then that person isn't telling you the truth. They don't really trust him. The Bible says only learners go to heaven. Only learners go to heaven. So how do you learn from Jesus? Well, first of all, you have to believe who Jesus is. He's God. He's man. He loves sinners. He loves you if you trust him, and even if you don't. He loves you, and he knows exactly what you need to learn for your own good. Now, this is important. You need to understand this, all of you children. This is part of what you need to learn as a child, remember? Ready? You don't know a lot. It's very important. Sometimes children think they know the right answers to a lot of things. Or they might think they can figure out things by themselves. But listen to me. You can't do that with Jesus. You have to understand that you do not know what you think you know. You don't. And you have a lot to learn. And you need to trust Jesus to teach you how to live and listen to what he says and learn to obey him because he's good. And where does Jesus teach you? In the Bible. The Bible teaches us how to live like Jesus. The Bible teaches us about who Jesus is. The Bible teaches us about ourselves. The Bible teaches us how to love God and how to love others. And so that's the most important thing about being a learner. You have to first know you need to learn, that you don't know a lot. You need Jesus to teach you. A second thing for a child is you need to learn to honor your father and your mother. That's very important. God gave you parents. And this word honor means to respect them. Your parents know more than you. And you need to learn wisdom from your parents. That means you should not listen to your friends more than your parents. Should not listen to your friends more than your parents or your pastors or other wise Christians. And this is important too. Do not spend time with other children who love sin or evil, or who like to talk badly about other people, or who try to get you to do bad things with them. Those are not the other children you should be spending time with. Jesus teaches you, you need to make friends that are Christians. You need to listen to wise older Christians and then make Christian friends. And so that's the second thing. Honor your father and your mother and learn wisdom from them. Third, come to church willingly. On Sundays, worship the Lord when you're here. You know why you're here? You're not here just to sit there. Right? You come to church because you're supposed to be worshiping the Lord too, listening to his word, singing his praises, listening to your teachers in Sunday school, listen to the sermon. When we pray, you bow your head and you think about what we're praying and treat other people at church with respect and with kindness. And so that's the third thing, is to willingly worship the Lord when you're here at church. Fourth, pray. You know, prayer is one of the most important things you can do if you trust Jesus. He wants you to. It's the first evidence that you do trust him. He calls you to talk to him. You can tell him about your sins. You can tell him about your needs. And you can talk to him, and he welcomes you, and he wants to hear from you. A big part of being a Christian and learning to be a Christian is learning to pray, learning to talk to God. A fifth thing is to learn to obey all of Christ's commandments, to love him. So those Ten Commandments that we read earlier, that's the law of love. We learn to love God and love others by learning to obey the commandments. And so what that means is that we have no other gods before God. We worship God only and don't love anything more than him. It means we don't have any idols or things in creation that we set up as more important than God, that we love more than him. It means that we don't take his name in vain. It means we don't walk around like God is unimportant. We don't use his name like a cuss word or something. We don't blaspheme. That's horrible. Instead, we speak of him in truth to other people. We remember the Sabbath day. We work on 6 days of the week. We honor our father and mother. We don't murder with our words or with our hands. Instead, we love and we protect other people's lives. We don't commit adultery. We treat others with respect and care and true love. We don't steal. Instead, we learn to give because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus gives to us. And we don't lie. We tell the truth. And you know, sometimes it takes courage to tell the truth. And that's part of learning to be a disciple, is learning to be brave. To tell the truth. Sometimes telling the truth will get you in trouble. Will you tell the truth anyway? That's hard to do. Sometimes you might not do it, but you should. And you learn to because you learn from Jesus to tell the truth where God has put you. And you don't covet, which means you don't want anything more than Jesus. You know, when you want something so much in this world, it leads to all kinds of other sins. It leads to stealing and to murdering and to lying. So you don't want something in this world more than Jesus. You trust, you learn the rest of your life to want Jesus most of all. And then you can love others the way he's made you to, and it will glorify him. And you know what happens? The more you learn to live this way, the more your assurance grows. So you're first sure you're a Christian just by trusting him and believing his promise that he's going to save you. And if you see yourself growing at all because you're trying to learn from him, you can say, wow, the Spirit is at work in me. I have grown and I know the Lord is mine, and I am the Lord's. And so, children, I hope you could listen to some of the things that I tried to tell you this morning. You have to trust in Jesus, and he saves you freely if you will just trust him. And that's how you become a Christian. But then after you become a Christian, you spend the rest of your life learning how to be a Christian, which is a life of repentance. And I pray you'll become a Christian and then really believe that you are, because you rest in Jesus and you're a lifelong learner from this good Jesus. I want you to know I'm always available to talk to any one of you, and so is Brother Mitch. Just ask your parents if you want to meet me or Mitch, and we'd love to speak with you about anything you want. Let's close with prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that you're a good and a great Savior, that you say, let the little children come to me, and not to forbid them. God, I pray for every child and young person or adult this morning who's struggling with assurance, that you would help them to trust in you and then to learn from you, to repent and learn to repent the rest of their lives with your good commandments as their guide, learning to love others as they have been loved, and that they wouldn't think that their assurance is based on how good they are or what a good Christian they are, but that it's based on Jesus alone. And the Spirit then works in them, that they would be conformed to Christ and their assurance, Lord, could grow up to full assurance. And I pray, Lord, that would be the case, and that you'd save every single person in this room by the power of your Spirit through the gospel of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.